Well, the question people always say is, what is hell like? What is heaven like? There are many views, many thoughts, many different ideas. Mankind has a picture that pictured these two places in a number of ways. First of all, people picture hell this way. In fact, every cartoon, every way that you see it, hell is some big hole in the earth, ruled by the devil. He's got on a red suit, probably red underwear or something, and he's there, and he's got horns, and he's got a pitchfork, and he controls the place. And so the devil's there, and he's real hot, and he's like controlling the underworld, and people go to hell, and they're there, and he's got them. That's what people think about hell. Then on heaven, sometimes people say, well, heaven, I've heard it all the way from heaven is whatever you want it to be. To heaven will be a beautiful place with clouds and it's peaceful. And sometimes they picture people looking like angels. I mean, there's this concept that people are angels and that we go to heaven, we got wings and all that and that kind of stuff. And that we're sitting around and resting. And I've had people come to me and say, listen, if we're just going to sit around for eternity, I don't know if I want to go. I mean, what are we going to do? And so all that kind of thing. Well, some of these things are right and some of these things are wrong. First of all, hell in the Bible is really not called hell. It's called the lake of fire. A word that is used that people think is hell is the word Hades. I've heard people say, well, Hades and hell are the same place. Hades and hell are not the same place. Or let me put it this way, Hades and the lake of fire are not the same place. There is a place in the Bible called the lake of fire, which is a place of eternal separation from God. It is described as a place of outer darkness. It is described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's sometimes called torments. The devil is not in control of the lake of fire. In fact, the devil is cast into the lake of fire. He's not in control. In fact, the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And because people have been in rebellion against God and the ones who do not ever trust in Jesus Christ, they're sent to this eternal separation place called the lake of fire. So if you really get mad at somebody and you want to tell them to go to somewhere, you might could say, go to the lake of fire. And that would probably be nicer sounding than the other thing some people have said. So biblically speaking, there is a place called the lake of fire, which is the eternal separation place. We're going to see a little bit more about it in a second. There is a place called Hades. It's not the lake of fire, and we'll talk about that. What about heaven? I mean, heaven is actually called the eternal place with God. There's a new heavens and a new earth. When people talk about heaven, they have to realize that eternity, what we call the eternal state, is actually on the earth. There's a new heavens and a new earth, and you'll spend eternity in the new Jerusalem on the earth. So it's different than what people have thought about, and so we're going to see that. We come to the questions, what happens when people die? Where do they go? What happens? What about believers? What about unbelievers? Well, if you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's the first thing we realize is, and we've mentioned it already, that people come into the world physically alive, but they're going to die physically. You're right. They come into the world spiritually dead, physically alive, but on their way to physical death. And if they stay in the state of spiritual death and then they die physically, they will be eternally separated. We call that the second death, and that's ultimately in the lake of fire. We also know that because Jesus Christ had died on the cross, paid for sin, and risen again, and given to us eternal life, then number one, we can be made spiritually alive by faith. Number two, physical death is conquered, that even when we die physically, God's going to raise up these bodies, whether you believe it or not. And then third is we don't have to be separated from God forever in what they call the second death, the eternal death, because we can have eternal life, or we do have eternal life, all of us who have trusted Him, and we have that with Him forever. We mentioned last week and spent some time, really about a week and a half, on this whole idea of temporal death, that when a believer sins, the wages of sin is death. We die. We don't die spiritually. We don't die physically right that second, and we don't ever have the second death, but we die temporally in our fellowship with God, and that has to be dealt with, and that's when we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So we spent a couple of weeks dealing with all of that. Well, this morning, we want to look at, what about death? What happens? What happens when people physically die? I want you to see 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is, he's writing to believers, and in fact, look at verse 6. He says, therefore, always being of good courage, and knowing that we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, what he says, that it's a kind of a strange way to say it, but he says, when you're in this body, you're not present with the Lord. Now, we know that Jesus Christ lives inside of us. And so he's not talking about the fact that you have fellowship with God. He's talking about actually being in the presence, face to face with Christ. He says, to be in this body, notice, to be in this body, we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, and we walk by faith, not by sight. That's just something he threw in there. He said, by the way, just remember, it's a Christian life, it's a walk of faith, not by sight. Now, we are of good courage. And then he says, I say and prefer rather. He said, this would be better. I'd rather be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, there's a truth, and 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that to be absent from this body is to be where? Now, we're talking about believers. Is to be home with the Lord, to be present with the Lord. In fact, the way the Greek is written, it's an idea of a face-to-face idea. You're going to be with the Lord. So if the question is asked to you, when a person who is a Christian dies, where are they? Well, the truth is their body's in the ground, but they are with the Lord, present with Him. Now, we're going to talk about how the Bible deals with it in a minute or two, about the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all of that. Well, what about a believer? What about an unbeliever? When an unbeliever dies, they are separated from the Lord. Now, this thing that we call the eternal separation, that hadn't happened yet. Even a person who is an unbeliever and dies, their body goes into the ground, and I'm going to tell you where they go in a minute, but it is not to the lake of fire. The lake of fire and being cast in the lake of fire is on into the future. In fact, there, best we can tell from the Scripture, there is nobody in the lake of fire. If you want to use the word hell, you can use it, but it's not biblical. It's better to say lake of fire. There's nobody in the lake of fire now. In fact, the first person who's going to be cast in the lake of fire is the Antichrist and the false prophet. Going to be cast in the lake of fire. Then, after them, then Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. So if you said, I wonder who's in hell right now, nobody's in the lake of fire right now. So for a believer, generally speaking, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For an unbeliever, to be absent from the body is to be separated from the Lord. They're not in the lake of fire yet. They're somewhere else, and we'll talk about that. We'll see how it fits together. Now, as we begin, let me remind you again of the four deaths: spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, and temporal death. We just talked about those. God's provision. This is why I wanted to bring this back up. I didn't say it a while ago. Jesus Christ is the provision for victory over all of those deaths. When Jesus died and rose again, He can give us spiritual life. He gives us physical life. He gives us eternal life. And He even gives us, in a temporal way, life as we go through this life with Him, a fellowship type. So He's the victor in all of these things. Now, what happens when people die? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 16, I want you to see, first of all, that there is a difference between what happened in the Old Testament when people died as it is in what we call the New Testament. Now, when we say Testament, I want you to understand something. A lot of times we take our Bibles and we automatically say the Old Testament is the books beginning in Genesis and going up to Malachi and all that. And the New Testament begins with Matthew and goes to Revelation. That's how we divide our books. But the actual New Testament began when? At the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us the new covenant, the New Testament, does not start until the death of the testator, meaning the one who had the death. Who died? Jesus. You remember on that last night, He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant is the New Testament. So in reality, most of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most of those books, all of that takes place in what we say Old Testament. Jesus lived His entire life under the Mosaic law. When Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again and His blood was shed, that is the blood of the new covenant of the New Testament. So the New Testament officially didn't begin until the death and resurrection of Christ. So when we're looking at Luke 16, this all takes place, we might say, under the Old Testament aspects. And so Jesus is teaching, because the question comes up about death and what happens and those kind of things. And so in Luke 16, beginning about verse 19, He's going to talk about what happens. Now, I've got a chart. Throw the chart up there first. Let me see if we want the whole thing up there. I think it's on one. It is. All right, let's look just on the left side, okay? Old Testament. I want you to see something. Let me just kind of explain it to you. In the Old Testament, let me just say this. We're going to find in Luke 16 that there is a place in the heart of the earth which is called, in the Old Testament, Sheol, which literally means place of the dead. In the New Testament, it's called Hades. Now, remember, Hades is not the lake of fire, okay? So we're going to find in Luke 16 that there's a place in the heart of the earth which is sometimes called Sheol, sometimes called Hades. If it's talking about Old Testament, it says Sheol. If it's talking about New Testament aspect, it's Hades. Now, on the left side, we're going to say what happened to people who died under the Old Testament economy. Let's put it that way, before the death and resurrection of Christ. we're going to find that if a person was a believer and they believed in the coming Messiah, they believed in the Savior, when they died, they went to the heart of the earth and they went to a place called paradise. It was also called Abraham's bosom. That's just what it was called. So a believer would go to paradise. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? What did he say to the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise, okay? And where did Jesus say he was going? Well, yes, and in Matthew 12, he says, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So Jesus went to the heart of the earth and he went to paradise. Now, if you are a believer, in the Old Testament to come, if you were a believer, you went to paradise, okay? An unbeliever, if they didn't believe in the Messiah, the Savior, they didn't trust, it wasn't not by faith, when they died, they went to the heart of the earth, which Old Testament was called Sheol, New Testament was called Hades. They went to the heart of the earth, but they went to a side which was called torments. That's just the best name we've got for it. It just says they're in torments, so most of us people have just named it torments. Now, if you notice the way the drawing is, and Joshua did a great job on putting this together. I can't do anything like that. I draw stick people and things. He did this. Anyway, he's got, and notice there is a gulf. There's a barrier between paradise and torments. So the believers who were in paradise could not go to the torment side, and the unbelievers who were in torments could not go to the paradise side. There is a gulf in between. We're going to see it in just a minute in Luke 16. Now, let me show you what happened in the New Testament, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The best that we can tell, after the death and resurrection of Christ, after Christ went to the heart of the earth and came back, and after he's ascended into heaven, when a person who is an unbeliever dies, they go exactly to the same place that the unbelievers did in the Old Testament. They go to torments. It's called Hades, heart of the earth. If you remember in the book of Revelation, at the end, when all the people are raised up from the dead, it says, and death and Hades gave up their dead, okay? Now, what about a believer? Today, when a believer dies, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, where is Jesus Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we go to be with him, and we just put it up that way. We go to be in the presence of the Lord. So you see a difference here. In the Old Testament, before the death and resurrection of Christ, for the payment for sin, a believer went to the heart of the earth to paradise. Unbeliever went to the heart of the earth to torments. After the death and resurrection of Christ, unbeliever goes to the heart of the earth to torments, and a believer doesn't go to paradise, or paradise is no longer there. I'll talk to you about that in just a second, and if you have questions, we'll talk about it. But we go to be with the Lord. Now, I just want you to see how that is. So today, if a person were to die and they were a believer, their body would be in the grave, they would be with Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. If they're an unbeliever, their body's in the ground, and their soul is in the heart of the earth in the part called torments. That's what happens today. Old Testament, just a little bit different. We'll explain why in a minute. Let's look at this. Look at Luke 16. Look at verse 19. Here is Jesus doing the explaining, and he's talking about this. And you got to remember that this is an Old Testament section. He hasn't died and risen again, ascended into heaven, and changed paradise, you might say. So look what he says. He's going to give an example of two people. One's a believer, one's an unbeliever. Now, there was this rich man, verse 19, and he was habitually dressed in purple and fine linen. That means he was really rich, and he spent all his money on clothes. Lived joyously, living in splendor every day. Now, as you look through the passage, the bottom line is this guy didn't believe. And then there was this poor man named Lazarus who was laid at his gate covered with sores. Now, the best we're going to be able to understand is that Lazarus was a believer. And he was longing to be fed with just the crumbs that fell from a rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. That's a great picture, isn't it? Great thing to think about. Anybody want a donut right now after the licking of the sores? We want to get one of those. Anyway, so here's what happened. Now, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom is another name for the paradise. So here's this believer in the Old Testament, and he dies and he goes to paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. It doesn't say anything else. But the next verse tells us where he went. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That's why a lot of people call that other side torments. And he saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, this is what this says. This is Jesus talking. I believe this because this is Jesus. This is not some story. He says it. He says that the rich man in torments looked across the gulf, apparently, and he saw Lazarus with Abraham. And verse 24, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say, well, he's in hell. He's not in hell. He's in Hades, which is different than the lake of fire. And we're going to see that there's a gulf, and on one side is the torment section. On the other side is Abraham's bosom or paradise. Now, watch. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received all the good things. Likewise, Lazarus had bad things. But now he's being comforted here. You're in agony. And besides all this, notice, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. So that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able. And that none may cross over from there to us. Why would anybody want to go to the torment side? To go help their loved ones. I mean, what is that guy wanting? He's wanting some water or something. He's saying, send Lazarus over here. Abraham says, well, first of all, can't come. And second is, there's this big gulf. So it's not possible for anybody to come over here and come over there. Besides all this, verse 26, between us and you there's this great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able to. Nobody can come over there and help you if they want it. Even if they want to, they can't. And none may be able to cross over from there to us. Now, what we can see is, the best we can understand, and this is Old Testament, that the believers were in the paradise side, or Abraham's bosom side, unbelievers in the torment side. There's a big gulf they can't cross over. It's bad on the torment side. This place is called Sheol. That's the Hebrew word. Sheol means place of the dead. Hades is a Greek word, which means the place of the dead or the heart of the earth. That's what it means. And so Sheol, Hades, paradise, torments. Watch what he says. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. I mean, let Lazarus be raised from the dead and go back to my father's house. I have five brothers, in order they may warn them so that they'll not come to this place of torment. What do people who are in the heart of the earth, in the place called Hades, in the part called torments, what do they want concerning their family? They don't want them to come there. They want them to what? They want them to believe in Christ. Let me tell you, when I do a funeral, and I've talked about this before, when I do a funeral, almost every time by the grace of God that I've done a funeral, the person's been a believer, and I can say they are right now with Jesus Christ. But I always say to them, if this person were here right now, they would want you to believe in Jesus Christ so you can be with them in heaven. If that person was an unbeliever, I say it in a different way, but if that person was here with you right now, he would say, don't go where I am. Believe in Jesus Christ. So here's the rich man saying, well, send somebody back to tell my brothers so they will not come to this place. But verse 29, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. What is Moses and the prophets? What is that? Is that the Bible? Is Moses and the prophets the Bible? We're talking the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh, which is the law, the writings of the prophets. But sometimes the Old Testament was just called the law and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. He's saying they have what? They have the Bible to do what with? To read them and look at it. He says, somebody's not going to come back from the dead and say, all this is real. He says, they have the Word of God that tells them what? That you believe in Jesus Christ, you have what? Eternal life. You do not believe in Jesus Christ, what happens? You'll be separated forever. He says, look, they got the Bible. Now listen to what else that he says. This is sort of amazing. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, let them listen to what the Scripture has to say. But he said, no, Father Abraham, if somebody goes to them from the dead, they will repent. The word repent means change their mind. He says, look, if it's a miracle, if somebody would just like come back from the dead, they would believe. Notice what he says. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. Let me tell you, when people say things like, oh, if I could just see a miracle. No. If you don't believe the Scripture, a miracle's not going to make you believe something. It just won't. That's what he says. He says, the issue is believing the Word of God, not some experience that happens. And so what we can see in this passage, Luke 16, that when the believer died and went to paradise, the unbeliever died and went to torments. There's a gulf in between, and there's no way to get across. And what the guy in the torments was saying is, please send somebody back and tell my family. And he says, they have the word of God. That's why, what do we tell people? We tell them the truth from the scripture. It's the authority. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Never comes back void. Always accomplishes the purposes. It's exactly what we're supposed to be. Now, what's the change? Now, here's the best that we can understand. And here's a question that people always ask. Well, why is it that when people died in the Old Testament, they had to go into the heart of the earth to paradise there? Why couldn't they just go be with God? What do you think? There is a barrier that was separating men from God. What is that barrier? Sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what did he do? Paid for the sin of the entire world. 1 John 2:2. He's the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. So I believe that when Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin, he is removing the barrier separating man from God. In that sense, in fact, the great picture was told, if you remember, that in the temple there was the front room and the back room. The back room was the Holy of Holies, which was supposedly the presence of God. What was in between the front room and the back room? A big curtain. What happened to that curtain when Jesus Christ died on the cross? It was torn from the top to the bottom, symbolically showing that the way to God was now open. So in that sense, we're going to see that when Jesus died and rose again and then ascended into heaven, according to the best we can tell, just write down Ephesians chapter 4. It says he led, this is kind of a strange statement, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he says he led captivity captive. And people say, what in the world could he be talking about? The best that we can understand that's talking about is that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he took with him all of the believers on the paradise side. Because now, you may not realize this, where is paradise now? If you look, where is it? It's in heaven, because if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just flip there real quickly. This is Paul writing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want you to see this. You need to look at the verses so you can just see I'm not just making this up. and we'll see how it fits together, and we'll ask any questions you have. But listen to this. Paul said he was taken up into heaven. Now, it was spiritually. But listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 3. I know such a man. He's talking about himself, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know. And I was caught up into paradise, and I heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Now, he goes back in verse 2 and says he was caught up into the third heavens. The third heavens, by the way, most people say, what do you mean, three heavens? Most believe the first heaven is the atmosphere, the second heaven is the abode of the angels, the third heaven is the abode of God. That's what most people say. We don't know. We know there are three heavens. It says it right here. He said, I was caught up into the third heaven. I was caught up into where? Paradise. Now, the best we can say, understand, today paradise is with Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Now, before Jesus paid for, basically before he died, rose again, and dealt with the people there, he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And where did Jesus go? Went to the heart of the earth. So the best that we can understand is that when Jesus died and rose again, paid for sin, and is when he ascended into heaven, he took the believers, all of the Old Testament believers who were on the paradise side, and in a sense he switched paradise from being in the heart of the earth to being at the right hand of the Father. Because now the best that we can see is that when a believer dies, where do they go? Believer goes to torments. Unbeliever goes to torments. Where does a believer go? To paradise. Now, where is paradise? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, let me give you this quick summary, and then we'll open it up for questions. In the Old Testament, when a believer died, he went to paradise. When an unbeliever died, he went to torments. They were on two different places, heart of the earth, big gulf. When Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin and rose again, ascended to heaven, he reached and took paradise, transferring paradise up to be at the right hand of the Father. So now, when an unbeliever dies, they still go to Hades or torments, and one day they'll be raised from the dead to stand before Jesus Christ to be then cast into the what? lake of fire. But believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so they're with Jesus Christ. So that's the difference. And the best reason we can understand why there's a difference between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints on where they are and why paradise was in the heart of the earth and now it's at the right hand of the Father is because sin had not been paid for. And Jesus Christ died, paid for sin, rose again, conquered it all, and opens the way. Okay, questions, comment. Let's do that for a second. Yes. Right. Well, I don't know if I did I say holding zone? What I mean is this. When you die, your body's in the grave, your soul and spirit go to be with Christ. The Bible never explains what we're going to be like when we're with Christ at that stage. In other words, if you said, what's my Aunt Thelma? I had an Aunt Thelma. What's my Aunt Thelma like right now? Well, we'd say, well, her body's in the grave, but her soul and spirit's with Jesus. And I say, but what is she? What kind of form does she have? He doesn't tell us. Even in 2 Corinthians, he talks about a form, but he doesn't tell us what kind it is. So believers are with Christ. Now, what's going to happen? What's the next event that's going to happen? What do we call it? The rapture. When Jesus Christ leaves heaven to come in the clouds to come get us, all of those people with him are going to come, the believers, basically the New Testament church believers he's going to bring with him at that time, they will come with him in whatever forms they are. And what's going to happen according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? The dead in Christ shall do what? Rise first. Their bodies are going to come up out of the ground, be changed, meet them in the air, whatever, and they're going to have a glorified body in the air. What's going to happen to us? We're going to be changed in a moment of a twinkle of an eye. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we will be. So we're in a sense in a holding pattern, meaning that whatever form people are in up there, because he didn't tell us, they're with Jesus Christ. When he comes back to get us, their bodies are going to be raised, changed, meet them. Our bodies are going to be changed, meet them, and we'll be with the Lord from that point on. Wow. Yes. A believer only in the sense they know that, well, yeah, they know, first of all, that the moment they die, that what was told to them or what the truth about an eternal separation or a judgment and all that, they know that's happening because they're placed in torments. And that's why this guy said, send somebody back to tell them about this. When they stand before Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 20, unbelievers are raised at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And the books are opened, and two sets of books are opened. One is the book of life. It says, anyone's name not found written in the book of life is cast where? Into the lake of fire. Now, are there names written in the book of life? How do you have your name written in the book of life? You come to God by faith. So an unbeliever is not names written in the book of life. The books of works are opened, books of deeds, and each one is judged according to their deeds. And I think all that's for is for them to realize that all the things that they did had no bearing on their eternal destiny. So you're right. They see, they know there's a God, a true God, that he is the judge, that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the true God, and they're cast away from him. That's Revelation chapter 20.
And at that point, they have been exposed to, they recognize the magnificence of the love of God, and that's part of what creates their eternal torment.
I think that's part of it.
Okay, now I said all that predicated on the question.
Okay.
Are the people who are in the place of torments there, do they at that point recognize the almighty power of God?
I think they do in the sense because they're already judged. They're not eternally separated, but they are judged already because Hebrews 9 says it is appointed for man to die once and after that the judgment. I think they already know by being in a place of torment that there is an eternal God and that he is a righteous and holy God, and they were not righteous and holy and they never believed, and so they are separated. Well, they were not going to the promised land, but that's not paradise.
Okay. When Christ comes
Jewish people that died in the land, died in the wilderness, were believing Jews who did not trust God to enter the promised land. They believed Jesus. They believed in the Messiah because they put the blood on the door and they believed in the Passover lamb to deliver them. So the Jewish people that came out of Egypt were believing people. 2 million of them. But they did not trust God to deliver them into the land. In reality, the Passover lamb is a picture of salvation. Entering the promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's a faithful Christian life. That's a picture of that. They didn't trust God enough to trust Him to live a faithful life and to go into the land. So going into the land is not a picture of heaven. So don't call Israel, you know, heaven. It's not. It's basically the Christian life. Actually, the Old Testament saints will be raised at the end of the tribulation, not at the rapture, and they will be raised. Matthew 24:25 talks about it. They will be raised to go into the kingdom because the Jewish person has looked forward to the what? To the kingdom. So, at the rapture, Old Testament saints are not raised from the dead. Only New Testament believers who are connected in Christ, we call the church. It seems to indicate that who he appeared to was the believers. Well, he says they wouldn't believe. Right. Best we can tell that he appeared to the believers. Now, there may have been some other people that saw him, but if you look at the parts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the very end where it talks about it, and he appeared to his disciples, he appeared to his believers, he appeared to 500 brethren, because there's 500 brethren. So it doesn't appear that he would go to unbelievers and say, "Here I am." It appeared, right, because he said, I don't know if Judas did or not, because Judas died. Yeah, he went and killed himself immediately. And so Judas wasn't alive after the death and resurrection of Christ. So we probably didn't. Yeah. Was that the second bell already? Oh, me. Okay. Yep.
When he mentioned Lazarus, is he talking about Saint Lazarus?
No, this is a different... Right. Sheol and Hades means the whole place. If I said Sheol, that would be paradise torments. If I said Hades, that would be paradise torments. Sheol is a Hebrew word. Hades is a Greek word. That's how they used it. Paradise is the, you might say, the good side of Sheol Hades. Torments is the bad side of Sheol Hades. No, a New Testament unbeliever goes to torments. And I'd said Hades because I'm just using the New Testament term. They would go to either Sheol and Hades are the same name. Just remember, that's just the same place. They mean the place of the dead, yes, and it means the whole place. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How is it that death is conquered for Old Testament people? Because they lived before the death of Christ.
Right. Well, his death paid for the sins of every human being, right, not just those who lived after him or at the same time of him. So even from Adam and Eve on, Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, and paid for the sins of the entire world, all people. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, he conquered all death because it says, in Adam, from Adam on, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. So every human being will be made alive.
So what's the purpose of paradise in the Old Testament if Christ's death, even though it was in the future, you know, took care of the sin for the past?
Right. The best we can understand is because he hadn't, time-wise, paid for the sin of the world, then these unbelievers went into a place of paradise, not into the presence of God because the sin debt had not been removed yet. That help? Yeah, okay. I guess we ought to stop. You think we need to talk about this any more next week, or do we start some of this? You want to talk about it some more next week? I'll have this ready to talk and raise some more questions, and then I'll have something else to start with if you want to as well. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for a great day. Thank you for these truths. Lord, help us to understand it, and thank you that your word shows us these things, and may we be faithful to tell other people about Jesus so that they can have eternal life and not eternal separation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.